Okay, so we have a lot in these parashiyot as things go. I know that, you know, you're not supposed to like or not like more parashiyot, but it's sort of undeniable that Achrayimot Kedoshim is about as packed as you get. Kedoshim and by itself would be.
Wait, is it
another
one?
It's another double parsha. Yes, I'm sorry, Chaim.
God.
Yes, I'm sorry. Achrayimot Kedoshim is pretty, well, it's pretty intense. It's not short.
Oh, my God.
It's not like Nitzavim Vayelech double parsha, which is 70 psukim total. No, it's not. Okay? So, right, Achrayimot starts with the halachot of Yom Kippur, of the Kohen Gadol going in to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which is, of course, interesting because I think we talked about this last year, the fact that the Torah doesn't actually say until the very end that this is happening in Yom Kippur. It just frames it as Bezot Yavo El Aron Al Kodesh. Then, what is the next unit, which is also the Haftarah, the Kriyat HaTorah on Yom Kippur Mincha, which everyone always wonders why. Not the Haftarah. I misspoke. The Kriyat HaTorah. Yonah is not in Parshat Achrayimot.
I didn't think so.
Okay, good. This is clear. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's the Arayot. Right, the Arayot. And then you get Kedoshim as Parak Yotet, which is one of the most packed prakims in all of Chumash. Right, it starts off with Kedoshim to you, right? You should be holy, ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokeichem, because I am holy, which of course the Midrash spends much time to figure out what is the connection between those two, right? We'll try to cover as many of these things as we can this week, but just to sort of sketch out what we're doing, and then you get a million mitzvot, ishim aviv tira'o, right? First half of that pasuk is Shabbat, second is Kibbut Avim, second half is Ben Shabto Tai Tishmaru, is Shabbat, right? Then you get Al Tifnu El Ha'alilim, right? Which, of course, the Midrash already picks up by this point that look carefully and you'll find all Aseret Hadibra, right? And then, if that's not surprising enough, what's Perek Chaf in Vayikra after we get, like, all the mitzvot of Perek Yotet, which are a lot, like, a lot. Right, Lashon Hara. Ahaftal Recha Kamocha. Like a lot of things. Right. What's Perek Chaf? The Arayot again. Right? The Arayot again. Right? Perek Yudchet is the Arayot. Then you got Perek Yutet, which is all the holiness laws, which, of course, go figure what makes it into the holiness laws. Right, and then you get Perek Chaf. Yes, unfortunately, Chaim, these are all in this week's parsha because it's double. So you get to read it all together, right? All together, you get the Arayah twice, is you get the Arayah again. So I think the first thing we have to deal with is just structurally, why? Like, it's one thing when we find repetitions between Nagid, Mishpatim, and something in Sefer Dvarim. Okay? Like, that's a whole study in and of itself. But we know that. Like, Sefer Dvarim repeats laws, expands laws, offers different perspectives on laws. Like, that's sort of its job. Okay, that's not so surprising. I mean, it is, but it's only surprising until you try to understand Dvarim. But once you understand Dvarim, they all sort of fit a pattern. Okay? Maybe. But, like, Yurchet, Chaf, like, why do we need to hear all of the Yisurei Arayot over and over and over and over again within a two-prakim, right, span? Like, we didn't forget. And even in a normal year, if it's single partio, right, we shouldn't forget week to week. But, like, even those of you who complain about not having good memories, like, I really would hope that you would not forget this in the same Kriyat HaTorah. Like, literally, you will hear this twice. So, why? Right? Why? So, in order to figure that out, you do have to try to figure out, well, is there any difference? I mean, is this really just repetition or not? So if you look at it, you'll discover that there are indeed some differences. So let me read you a few psukim. Let's see if you see differences, and then maybe try to figure out why these differences make sense in the way they do. So Perek Yudchet, Vayedaber Adonai Moshe Lemor, Daber al Bnei Yisrael v'amarta aleihem ani Adonai aleichem. Tell the Jews I am God. Kamatzei Eretz Mitzrayim Asher Yishavtem Ba Lo Tasu. Kamatzei Eretz Kanan Asher Ani Mivi Etchem Shama Lo Tasu V'Chukotem Lo Teleichu. The actions of Mitzrayim and Kanaan, please don't repeat. And we do know historically that Kanaan and Mitzrayim were particular violators of certain types of forbidden relationships.
The countries.
Right, the people in the countries.
No.
Like, we know, in fact, there's been work done that even the particular timing in which this command, right, around the time of the Torah, the Canaanite kings were known for their violations of incest in unique ways that were not true in other generations. So there's a lot of interesting...
Do you mean to say that the Torah historical
context... Oh, God, no.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Yes, exactly. Then you get to the Arai. You get each el kol sheir b'sera lo tikru lo galot erva ani Adonai. Erva avicha v'erva imcha lo tegalei imchahi lo tegalei ervata. Right, don't sleep with your mother or your father's wife. Ervada ish avicha lo tegalei ervada avicha hi. Ervada chotcha bar avicha varim echem oledet bayram oledet chot lo tegalei ervatan. Right, don't, right, incest with sisters. Ervat bat bin chal bat bit chal, right, grandchildren, lo tegalei don't care about chahena. Ervat bat ish avicha oledet avicha chotcha hi lo tegalei ervata. Right, you get the whole list. You should remember this. No, you should just remember it. But, right, if nothing else, you remember it from Yom Kippur. And maybe last time we read Achronot. If you skip to Perek Chaf, and you get the Arayot again, so there are a lot of differences, but let me just read you, a pasuk, and tell me what the main difference that jumps out you as is. Ish asher yinaf et eshet ish, asher yinaf et eshet reyeyu. Right now, this is the pasuk on adultery. Mot yumat hanoef vanoafet. So the adulterers shall die. The ish asher yishkav et eshet aviv. Now this is an era we just read. If someone sleeps with his father's wife, ervat aviv gila, and he has slept with his father's erva, mot yumtu shnehem demehem bam. Mot yumtu shnehem demehem bam. They shall die. Their blood is on their head. The ish asher yishkav et kaloto, mot yumtu shnehem tevel asu demehem bam. What is the main difference that jumps out at you?
The difference with what I'm called.
No, they're actually pretty similar. Okay, that word on this erva, but fine. I mean, I'm not reading the whole perek. But what is, like, consistently different about all the Arayot and Gidchet and all the Arayot and Chaf?
Death,
thank you. Is that there are no consequences in perek Gidchet. Perek Gidchet says it's Asur. Perek Chaf says, and if you do it, we kill you. Right? What? So why? Right, meaning why is that the major difference between Chaf and Yudchet, which is that there are consequences. Right, this is one of those questions that sort of jumps out at you, right? Meaning besides the fact that it's solely repeated, it's repeated and there's one major difference consistently. So I remember this, this is one of those shirim I remember for Roy Liebtag very, very clearly, right, when I was in yeshiva. And, well, methodologically, what's the easiest answer? Where's the easiest place to look for an answer? This shouldn't be hard. What's the... I'll frame the question differently. The Arayot are mentioned in Perek Yudchet without consequences, and then they're repeated in Perek Chaf with consequences. Where's the best place to look for an answer? Perek Yudchet, right? Meaning, if they were mentioned in Yudchet and then repeated just two brachim later, as we said, it's weird enough that they're repeated, but they're repeated and the punishments only come in Chaf. So the easiest place to look for an answer is maybe the reason that they are now, as it were, reflected in a different lens with punishment is something that happens in Yudchet. And this is what Rabbi Liebtag fundamentally claimed, which is it's one thing to say that the Arayot are wrong, but you really need to justify in general why things carry the consequences they do. And he argued that what Perek Yotet is really doing is setting the framework for it, which is, if the defining mission of the Jewish people is Kidoshim to you, is holiness, right? Ki Kadosh Ani Hashem Elokeichem, right? You have to be holy because I'm holy, right? Whatever exactly that means, but that our fundamental obligation is to be holy and godly, right? And, right, that's the whole Perek Yotet. And the Arayot, as they describe themselves, are against that goal. As they're described, they are mitame, right? They make impure, right? They are, in a certain sense, antithesis of Kiddusha, as the Rambam makes very clear. How does the Rambam make this very clear?
Oh,
no. The Rambam's Sefer Kiddusha has only sexual and appetitive violations, right? Kosher laws, appetitive food. Appetitive, appetite, appetitive, right? Appetitive limitations, right? And sexual limitations, meaning Kiddusha for the Rambam is about certain limitations, right? A not unbridled expression of desire, right? It's within a framework. It's within, right, constraints. You suddenly realize that it's much higher stakes, meaning it's not just personal, right? Meaning if it was just a sin, okay, so that's between you and God. But once you establish that, no, we have like a national goal to be holy, that is our very definition. So then undermining that goal is not a personal problem. It's a societal problem. And it's, right, if you know anything about theories of punishment, right, meaning besides for the pure retributive theories of justice, right, that it's just to punish, right, that there's a value in retribution, right, but there's also factors of education, right, of right, disincentivizing crimes amongst others. It has an educational value in teaching the society what we're about, right? It's about control, it's about order. I mean, there are all types of theories, right? But once you establish that there's a national goal for Kedusha, so then this isn't just a personal crime, right? Anything which undermines that is suddenly a national danger, suddenly something which cuts at our identity. And that justifies punishment in a way that mere sin does not, right? Meaning sin may deserve punishment, but punishment makes a lot more sense once you've established the framework of a societal goal which is being undermined by your actions, right? And therefore, broadly speaking, he thinks that's the difference, right? Is that Perek Yudchek can tell you it's wrong, but once you establish that there's a national agenda, and the Arayot then fit, or don't fit, as it were, into a more holistic project for the nation as a whole, suddenly punishment makes more sense. And that's what he argues is really structurally what's going on. Now, of course, that requires you to figure out, well, what is it about Perek Yutet, meaning why is it the Arayot are this way? And that's a bigger question, right? But simply noticing this is important. Okay, we'll stop there for now. We'll see how